Ever notice how Superman rushes into phone booths to change into his heroic costume? Now imagine doing the opposite, frantically peeling off your cape to squeeze back into business casual before Monday morning. This was the exhausting reality of living between two worlds, speaking at conferences on weekends, then returning to a corporate cubicle by dawn. That jarring whiplash between passion and paycheck captures something millions feel but rarely discuss openly. Here's what makes this different from typical career advice. Most books glorify the dramatic exit, the middle finger to the boss moment, the leap without a net. But what if that advice is dangerously incomplete? What if your boring day job isn't the enemy of your dreams, but actually the secret weapon for achieving them? In a culture drunk on follow your passion platitudes and overnight success stories, this approach feels almost rebellious. It suggests that patience, strategy, and staying put might be more revolutionary than any grand gesture of quitting. We've become perpetual job hoppers. 84% of employees are actively planning their exit, with younger workers averaging just 3 years per position. Some perfect their resignation technique like a craft, evolving from awkward breakups to silent, knowing glances that say, "We both know I'm done here." This restlessness stems from three internalized lies: that work is inherently miserable, that we can separate work me from real me without consequence, and that quitting itself is the heroic first step toward authentic living. The problem starts early. Well-meaning adults position adulthood as the end of life's adventure, conditioning us to see motion as success. The "it's just a job" belief might feel protective, but you can't spend 40 hours weekly somewhere without it seeping into your being. Most dangerously, we've romanticized quitting as the pivotal moment when everything changes. Movies celebrate dramatic exits and magical success stories. But quitting without preparation doesn't solve problems. It creates new ones. You trade one boss for many mini-bosses. Bills, mortgages, scrutinizing family members questioning your choices when money gets tight. Your day job isn't just funding your existence, it's funding your dreams. Beyond the paycheck, it provides social interaction, accomplishment, skill practice, and crucially, the power to say no. When that first publishing offer arrived after years of dreaming, excitement turned to disappointment. The publisher wanted the book for free, then would sell it back at a discount to market personally. Thanks to steady income, walking away was possible. Without it, that predatory deal might have looked like the only option. Financial stability also provides creative freedom. Writing for CNN as a Christian risked alienating conservative fans. But with a day job, that creative risk didn't endanger family stability. The result was an honest article about why Christians can be jerks online. Hundreds disliked it, but integrity remained intact. Without a day job, financial obligations become your new bosses, constantly whispering, "Be careful," whenever you consider something bold. Most surprisingly, your day job teaches transferable discipline. When unhealthy foods were eliminated from one person's diet, productivity unexpectedly increased everywhere. More writing, earlier rising, more deliberate family time. Discipline begets discipline. Your day job structure, deadlines, and accountability create habits essential for dream pursuit. Even Ryan Gosling noted that Hollywood's problem is nobody works. He took a job making sandwiches just to maintain needed structure. Finding your dream job isn't about discovering something new. It's about recovering what you've always known. Our calling emerges from past experiences, not surprise revelations. This recovery begins by identifying hinge moments, small, pivotal experiences that redirect our lives. A third-grade teacher who laminated mediocre poems, transforming a student into an author. A father who silently handed over publishing information, fueling writing dreams. These moments carry outsized impact because they validate our natural inclinations and give us permission to pursue them. To unearth your hinge moments, ask, what would you do for free? What activities make time feel different? What do you enjoy regardless of others' opinions? The friend who always organizes events might have a calling in event planning. The most insidious obstacle is the nothing lie, dismissing compliments about our gifts with, "Oh, that's nothing." Acknowledging your gift is terrifying because it makes you stand out and creates expectations. But your gift is never nothing. The natural mediator who just likes helping people get along, these just statements often point directly to our calling. Every dream involves risk, but perception determines success. We view risks through three lenses: the magnifying glass, blowing risks out of proportion; the kaleidoscope, connecting one risk to catastrophic scenarios; or the telescope, the healthiest option, acknowledging risks while maintaining emotional distance. Perfectionism cripples progress. Many are procrastinating perfectionists, waiting until the last minute, then demanding flawlessness. The truth, 90% perfect and shared always changes more lives than 100% perfect stuck in your head. We can't catch perfect, but we can catch published. The most insidious obstacle is the daily debate between today you and later you. Every time you work on your dream, later you promises greater productivity tomorrow. The solution? Decide once and eliminate daily negotiation. Commit to a specific time and duration for the entire month. When doubt arrives, say, "We already decided this isn't up for discussion." We paralyze ourselves with "what if I fail," preferring to remain a fake somebody than a real nobody. But pursuing your dream gives you roughly 50% chance of success. Even worst-case scenarios beat the 100% guarantee of failure from not trying. The plan myth paralyzes us into believing we need perfect blueprints before pursuing dreams. Successful people start with passion, not plans. Malcolm Gladwell admits he didn't plan or predict the success of Tipping Point. Warren Buffett attributes his success to showing up every day. The correct sequence is passion, your why, then practice, testing the waters, and only then a detailed plan. We confuse underdog stories like David versus Goliath with Cinderella tales, expecting instant transformation. David's path was long and arduous. Though anointed king by Samuel, he returned to shepherding for years. His pivotal moment with Goliath wasn't glamorous. He was merely delivering lunch to his brothers. Invisibility during growth isn't punishment, but a gift. When nobody's watching, you can experiment freely without scrutiny. As your audience grows, honesty and risk-taking often diminish. You become safer with more to lose. Embrace the Nebraska years, those early stages when you travel great distances to reach tiny audiences. Teaching dance to three people in a studio built for 80, book signings where people walk away without a word. These hardships are part of every dream's journey. Pursuing dreams requires tremendous hustle, vacation days used for speaking engagements, radio interviews from cars during lunch breaks. Morning is ideal because excuses haven't woken up yet. To publish a 50,000-word book, you might need to write 500,000 words first. When measuring progress, focus on hustle, the one thing you can control.
Success destroys more dreams than failure. We prepare for setbacks, but rarely for success's arrival. The attention, the voices telling us what we want to hear instead of truth. Define enough before success hits. One blogger learned this from a comedian using futureme.org to send himself warnings. A year later, amid success's noise, a forgotten message arrived. "This is enough. I have a beautiful wife, a house, two wonderful children, a job. This is enough." Chase enough and you'll never catch it. Define it and you're guaranteed to reach it. Dreams consume all the time you give them. Hustle fills you up, but burnout empties you. We justify crazy hours believing in later, that sacrificing family time now creates a better future. But children only understand right now. One accountant chose fewer hours, costing him a $2,000 bonus. He calculated paying just $3 per hour to spend time with his family, a bargain he gladly accepted. Before quitting your day job, work your plan for months, maximize nights and weekends, build emergency funds, secure spousal support, and create a realistic backup plan. Establish written ground rules about work-life balance and share them with someone who'll hold you accountable. Create a risk list, identifying potential challenges. This removes surprise, turning difficult moments into confirmation you're on track. Your dream deserves more than a reckless leap. It deserves a thoughtful bridge built one deliberate step at a time.